Hello, this is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek. Welcome to another edition of Loretto Live, where we profile the people, places, and stories of Loretto. I'm fortunate enough to have Jim Spano, who's the managing partner and principal for Spano Partners Holdings. Jim is also the chairman of the newly formed Loretto Visitors Bureau. For those of you that follow our blog at starksilvercreek.com, you'll see that Clint has recently posted a great profile and interview of the latest press release around Loretto, featuring some great promotions for people that are looking to visit the Loretto area. So definitely check that out. At this point, I'd like to welcome Jim to this podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Wanted to first ask you to, you know, tell us a little about yourself. How did you get involved in real estate to begin with, and specifically Loretto?
Surely. My initial delve into real estate was in the late 80s. I was involved in a number of condo conversion projects in the SoHo area of New York City. As we all know, we ran into a very difficult time in the real estate markets in the late 80s when the tax laws changed under CAFRA. And as a result, the New York real estate market was severely impacted, and it pretty much grounded me for a few years in the real estate business. My family continued in the business, and I joined the family business again when my dad had passed away, and my involvement with the company was intended to broaden its reach outside of primarily a New Jersey-based development company to a international platform where we could focus on the resort industry, which we felt was at the proper point in the real estate cycles.
So is Spano Partners currently now still based in the New Jersey area, but you have now international holdings as well to further your resort strategy?
That is correct. We actually have properties outside the New Jersey, but still stateside, in addition to our international projects that we've been developing for the last 3 years.
So you mentioned from your earlier experiences with the real estate market, just a downturn in the New York. So we're also facing currently some tough times in the real estate industry. From what you've seen in your experience, how would you characterize that, and how has it impacted your view into the kind of investments that Spano Partners makes?
Well, obviously the current economic downturn, particularly in the real estate sector, has been a pendulum swing well beyond what anybody has anticipated, and we've seen unprecedented real estate devaluation both stateside as well as internationally. So to some degree, the experts have all been treated to a little dose of humility, and there's a lot of, in my opinion, what's happened is anytime there's major change, there's major opportunities that are created, and if you're not flexible enough and you're not anticipating those changes, you're going to suffer the consequences. If there's anything I've learned from my earlier involvement in the business and for the past 25 years, what I've learned is that when change occurs, you have to be at the beginning curve of that change. You need to change your mindset, change your planning, incorporate the anticipated impact of those changes on the economy or demographic area that you're working in, and be prepared to make some difficult choices. In our current case, interestingly enough, as everybody is running for the hills and quite uncertain as to what the future holds, I've seen it strictly as a wonderful period for opportunity. It's enabled me to negotiate deals that I could never have negotiated even a year ago, under terms that are literally magnificent, that I wouldn't have dreamed of being able to put together just a year ago. So our reaction at Spano Partners we recognize that there's a change in the industry. We recognize that, as is always the case, there are niche markets that defy the change. And we do typically have a contrarian type attitude, and we look to seek out those opportunities and take advantage of the favorable negotiating terms that we can get today. So I see it as a wonderful opportunity, but I do recognize that the product, some of the base principles, at least on a temporary basis, you have to look away from it. And I'll give one perfect example of a mantra in the real estate business that if you're following today, you're in trouble. And that's the old location, location, location. Historically, the best real estate, the best values were identified by location as opposed to value. Today, in these types of economic times, people under economic stress, even affluent people, are more inclined to look for a value proposition than they are for what heretofore was recognized as the best property in the best location. Mm. And how that translates into how we've changed our business structure and plans, we have a firm belief that, and I'll use Loretto as an example of one aspect. Loretto is an emerging market. Loretto has not demanded the type of prices that you see in a mature destination like Cabo, like Ixtapa, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta. In those locations, your pricing levels have been artificially inflated as a result of a run-up during a bull market in the real estate. And now, obviously, as we all know, there's tremendous price point pressure on the sales in that area, as well as most well-known locations, Phoenix, Las Vegas, you can go on and on and on throughout the country. And the Jackson Holes and the Tellurides, where property values have skyrocketed, there's no longer the ability to create sufficient value to develop new properties profitably. In the Loretto area, the benefit of an emerging market like Loretto is that you've not seen the price points on the end user property. We've seen tremendous inflation on developable properties, although we haven't seen a whole lot of actual development on those properties. So Loretto started to experience what other emerging destinations see. And the very first stage of that process is for landowners to suddenly overvalue their properties in anticipation of growth and development. And what happens when you do that is you restrict the number of new projects that come into the area, because the land costs are, you cannot carry the expense of the high land costs in your development at the price points that an immature emerging market can command. In our current situation, we have a very attractive land pricing in Loretto. Again, pricing has come way down back to realistic levels. We have a increased labor pool. When we first came to Loretto, one of the big concerns was where to get labor. Mm-hmm. And now we're sending labor home because there's more anticipation of construction than actual construction. We're going to see that turn around as the Via Group has recently broken ground. As we all know, the Mission Hotel is open now, and they're looking forward to their project up in what's the beach they're up on now? Golden Beach. So I think that the current status in Loretto will enable the developers to build products and to sell products at what I call value proposition rates, and I'm going back to when I stated that the mantra used to be location, location, location. The mantra today needs to be value proposition, value proposition, value proposition. People are not willing to spend their money unless they're getting a bargain today, and people are more inclined to hold back a little bit and play it a little bit safe unless they perceive that they're getting true value for their money. A lot of people are saying, I'm going to wait a year before I purchase my real estate because I believe the market's not at the bottom yet. And as a result, if you're not offering a distressed value, either a distressed rate or a true value proposition, you're going to have a hard time making your sales. In Laredo, we believe that we can build and deliver a product at 50% of what it would cost to deliver that same product in Cabo. In Laredo, we have the very beginning of an emerging market, which is what attracted people to the Baja and to other peninsula-type destinations like the Florida Keys, for example. What attracts people to there is the tranquility, the serenity, to some degree, the solitude. And then as the destinations grow and mature, a new crowd of buyers come in, and the buyers that are looking for the excitement and a different experience on a vacation basis. So I believe that Laredo is offering, even though they're very difficult economic times, Laredo is offering a experience, a product, and a price point that are the equivalent to a distressed purchase, and you're getting your value, but you're not giving up anything in order to get that value. You get to enjoy the same reason you first went to Cabo or Cancun or Puerto Vallarta. You get to have that same sense of well-being, tranquility. At the Visitors Bureau, for example, we're coming out with our branding message, which is going to be that Laredo is the soul of the Sea of Cortez. And I think that aptly describes the experience people have on their senses when they first arrive and during their visit in Laredo. So translating that back to real estate value, you're providing, you still have the location, the waterfront, the sun, the sand, the trails, all the excitement, water sports, horseback riding, all the excitements of mature destinations, but you have to deliver it at a tremendous value point right now, and those are the type of properties that we continue to look for. Just yesterday, we entered into a contract to acquire a property in an island in the Caribbean, which we will be doing a fractional, converting an existing resort into a fractional product with our partners at Boutique Club. And the same philosophy occurs there. It's a very, very high-end, very expensive area where you cannot buy a waterfront property for under $1.5 million to $2 million, and if you do, it's a shack. Mm. To be able to provide a deliverable of waterfront property on a fractional basis for under $200,000, I go right back to my philosophy. Value proposition comes first, and a value proposition in a good location like Laredo or this particular Caribbean island, as well as many others, of course, is a combination that will work in these economic times.
You brought up a lot of things about this current economic time, value proposition, value proposition, value proposition, and the kind of properties you're looking at, and it sounds like there's some good values out there where you're able to take that raw material and produce a product that offers a lot of value to the end buyer. Are you factoring in a time when we're coming out of this recessionary period? Obviously, the real estate market is cyclical. Is that playing a factor in your investment in Laredo as well as this other Caribbean island? At some point, will that sort of change back to something else as the market improves?
Absolutely. As the destination matures, there will always be changes that occur, and we will be adapting to those changes. In our in our marketing strategies, we look at, we're just entering into, we're just in the beginning phase of a major recession, in my opinion, particularly with respect to real estate values. And I believe that we're going to see a few years before you see any, by the time the current inventory is absorbed and new inventory is moving at price points that justify new construction, at that point, obviously things will change and you'll have new competitions and so forth. Also, and much higher price points, there'll be a recovery period, and real estate values will jump back up, and then they'll level back down, and you go back into normal real estate cyclical markets. In our opinion, we're at the very bottom, or close to, maybe not necessarily at the very bottom of the real estate cycle in the resort-type properties, beachfront-type resort properties, which we specialize in. On that basis, in our opinion, the smartest thing to be doing is to be preparing your projects, going through your entitlements, putting your marketing plans together, getting ready for the launch so that by the time you're up and running and you've got your pre-sales and you're ready to begin construction, that's a 2-3 year process. By the time you're at that point, the economy hopefully should be turned around. That's obviously a 2-3 year period. If it's not, same situation. You just have to delay your vertical construction. The trick to succeeding in this type of an environment where none of us have a crystal ball is to make sure that your carrying costs on the properties that you intend to develop don't sink you before the economy or the markets change to where you can build out your development. And I'm going to give you a quick example of that. I have a project called Preserve at Plum Point in Maryland. I spent an extensive amount of time and effort with a partner who owned the property. It's 176-acre reserve. Acquired the property in partnership with this fellow and put together a marketing plan and a whole construction plan, put the whole team together. And then we watched this economy go worse and worse and worse in these last 4 to 6 months. And we determined that a fractional product, which is a new product for the Washington area, that a fractional product may not be the best product at this time in that area. So we decided to kick back for 6 months, slow everything down, continue the entitlement process so that when the time comes, we can build out, but so that we spend the least possible amount of money while we're getting the property prepared for development. And then we can sit on the property until the right time to pull the trigger and start your sales campaign and start working out your construction financing and putting your project together. So we think this is just a very perfect time. For an emerging destination like Loretto, this is the opportune time for them to come out and provide that value proposition that mature destinations simply can't provide because all of their properties are already leveraged based on their prior assessed values. And let me expand on that a little bit. If you're down in Cabo and you had a property that you paid $2.5 million for a year and a half ago, it was appraised at $3.5 million 6 months ago, and if you tried to sell it today, you could only get $2 million for it. Well, when you paid $3.5 million for it, you might have gotten a $2 million loan, or $1.5 million, or $1.75 million, 50% loan. Very difficult to go out and sell, take such a loss, and not have enough capital to reinvest in another property where you feel that there's a quicker opportunity to recoup the value. It can take a mature destination a lot longer to recover from this real estate recession than a emergent destination, because the emergent destination didn't have the fictitious run-up of valuation and the subsequent loaning based on those valuations, and therefore the rental market can sustain much lower price points and attract those other buyers back to Loretto. And I use an example in my past interview where, you know, if you have a property that you thought was worth $3 million last year, and today, you know, maybe you can sell for $2.25 million, $2.5 million if you're lucky, and you say, oh, you know, it's very difficult to take a loss like that. But at the same time, you have to say to yourself, how long before my $3 million property that I can only sell for $2.5 million, that's worth $2.5 million, and maybe I could sell it for $2.5 million. How long before that's worth $3 million again? Whereas to go into a destination where you can acquire that replacement property for $1 million and take that $1.5 million and put it into your bank account, or put it into an investment today where you're buying at low points in almost any market, now you have an opportunity to recover your financial loss. You maintain the lifestyle because you still have the same exact product, it's just a different location. And again, that goes back to where location today will be less important than that value proposition. For me to be able to buy and have my family and my children still enjoy the same lifestyle that I provided them in Cabo, that I can no longer afford to provide them because of my losses in the market and my devaluation of my real estate, this is an opportunity to step out of that market, take your losses, but buy at equivalent or even greater discounts in Loretto and still maintain that same five-star quality of living that you had in your residence in Cabo. So I think there's a lot of that. Again, going back to change offers opportunity, and if you just consider the impact of change and how that's going to affect people's habits, decision-making processes, then you can find the right mix, the right place, and the right product that will be attractive.
Specifically with the JW Marriott project you're involved in Loretto, you talk about value proposition. We've heard that a couple of units at least have sold at that location. Is the value proposition you're talking about what you're seeing in the buyers that are buying right now JW Marriott units?
Absolutely. We have some very interesting programs that have been developed and some of which have not even been announced yet. So there's some interesting programs that we've worked with some of our prior buyers, and I should make a note, and maybe some people aren't aware of it, but in May of 2007, we began to open, and we opened up sales strictly to our investors. At that point, we had 13 units sold by investors, but because of the changing economy, we felt that we should slow down and bring a flag into the destination to mitigate our risk as developers. So we entered into negotiations with JW Marriott and ultimately signed a management agreement with JW Marriott to operate the property for us. That delay, obviously, going through the negotiations with JW Marriott delayed the project for a little over a year, and we feel it's positioned the product in Loretto to be that value proposition because people feel very comfortable with a flag managing the property. They know what they can expect. They know the level of quality that they can expect throughout the property. So right now, the JW Marriott has opened up its sales office in Loretto on November 19th. And we do have some sales booked, and we expect, keeping our fingers crossed, we're hoping for as many as 30 sales by the end of March, mid-April timeframe. We've brought in a backup sales team. Our primary sales team is Latitudes International Marketing Group, and that's a company that One of the principals is Shane Jessup, the prior sales manager for the Loretta Bay company.
Mm-hmm. We know Shane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems a lot of people know Shane down in Loretta. Real nice guy. But in any event, so Latitude International Marketing Group is our primary sales company. And as we recognize the tough times, we brought in a secondary company that will be working with Latitude International, a company called Boutique Club International. And between the two companies, we expect to have a vibrant and successful initial sales offering. Anybody who's been to our sales center in Loretto experiences what I call the wow effect, because the first words out of everybody's mouth when they walk through the front door is, wow, and that's really what we were driving for.
Yeah,
We've
seen photos of it, and I haven't visited it yet, although Mark Carrelli has invited us quite a number of times to go and visit it. But it looks great from the photos, it's nice you have such a great sort of display for that. You did mention earlier about carrying costs, so when in the whole sales cycle are you thinking of actually doing the vertical build-out for the property?
So that's obviously a function of the sales, because in order for us to go vertical, we have to make sure that we have sufficient mass, not just to qualify for your pre-construction requirements for funding on your construction loan, but more importantly, that there's sufficient mass to open the property with full amenities operating, which is the way that we and JW Marriott that the property has to be open. So we'd be looking for a significantly higher number of sales. And depending on how long it takes us to make those sales, it could be anywhere as soon as the fall of this year, and hopefully that is our anticipation. If sales are slower than we anticipate, it may be pushed back a couple months. But again, our timing today is primarily a function of ensuring we have sufficient sales to not just start construction, but to actually complete 100% of the amenities on the property, so that the first set of buyers that move onto the property are moving in with full access to all amenities.
Yeah, that's very prudent, I think, in this market. Very, very, I think, well planned on your part. It seems that you're not only heavily involved in the JW Marriott project, but you've taken on a larger role in Loretto, being the chairman of the newly formed Loretto Visitors Bureau. Can you sort of speak to a bit about what you see the charter for that group to be, and I guess over the long run, where you want to see Loretto go? Do you want it to be sort of the next Cabo, or are you looking it to be something of a different destination location?
Okay, that's a fair enough question. First, take a minute to go through the genesis of the Bureau. The Bureau was initially formed when the airlines Delta and Continental advised or publicly announced that they'd be terminating their flights to Loretto based on the fuel crisis at the time. Mm-hmm. That created a bit of a shockwave throughout the developers in the area, because obviously without airlift, the destination is destitute. The genesis of the Bureau was a meeting with myself and Michael Coyle, and subsequently with Mario Cortez, and then with Owen Perry and Ricardo and Scott Sevelin, and all the principals and project managers of the four major projects in Loretto, as well as the Hotel Association. And we all got together and formed the Bureau for the initial purpose of soliciting increased airlift from Alaska Air and looking for other alternatives to ensure that there was access to the destination. Upon successful negotiation with Alaska Air and a commitment not only to an immediate increase in airlift, but a commitment for an ongoing increase in airlift as demand requires, We then set about the business of promoting the destination as a destination and ensuring that the four developers work together to ensure that the destination matures as a planned destination as opposed to a self-developing and self-defining destination. Our primary goal as a group at the Visitors Bureau is to ensure that the public has a consistent message and that there's not mixed signals being sent out to the market through different marketing plans of the different developers, and to ensure that the destination retains the essence of the destination that makes Loretto special and so much different than the Cabos and Cancuns and Puerto Vallartas and so forth. In order to accomplish that, we invited the Vision of Tourism to join with our group, as well as the local municipality and local government in Loretto, and we have secured the full support of the airline, AXA, as well as Alaska Air, who is now a strategic partner of ours in the Loretto destination. So right now, the focus of the Bureau is in the middle right now of doing the promotion to put Loretto Baja Sur on the map so that people don't find themselves in Loretto, Texas, which interestingly enough, several years ago when I first started coming to Loretto, had my assistant book me my flight and didn't need a passport when I checked in, subsequently learned that I'm on my way to Loretto, Texas. So I figured if my office could make a mistake like that, then certainly there's an issue with identifying Loretto in Mexico. So we've put together, we are working with Y Partnership at the Bureau. We entered into a marketing and public relations contract with Y Partnership, and we are focusing on an identity for Loretto and distinguishing it from the Cabos and other Mexican destinations. Our philosophy and our brand image for Loretto is going to be defining Loretto as the soul of the Sea of Cortez, because we believe not only is Loretto in the center of the Baja and the center of the activity on the Baja, but Loretto also has that, what I call the essence, it has its own sense of tranquility, well-being, serenity, however you want to describe it. I can't find the right words to describe it. But when you think of the soul of the Sea of Cortez, it just gives you a sense of the same sense of comfort and tranquility that you experience when you step off the plane in Loretto. So that will be the focus of the message we're getting out to the public, and that will be the focus that the Bureau will try and maintain for the destination so that it does not become a nightclub haven, a Cabo or a Cancun or some of the other destinations. They're clearly wonderful destinations, and I won't take anything away from them. They're different than Loretto, and we want to retain that difference, and we want to offer that difference to the buyer that's looking for that sense, that quiet, wonderful feeling of well-being that you have in Loretto.
Yeah, it's you bring up a very good point, Jim, and it was one of the reasons I think Clint and I got attracted to the Loretto area. And it's strange, but as you talk to a lot of the folks that we know that obviously own property in Loretto, it seems to attract that type of person to that actually does appreciate what you mentioned, that thing that's hard to describe, but I think you aptly put it, the soul of the Baja. And so I want to thank you for the time you've taken to spend with us. And I think based on your involvement with Loretto and all the many hats you hold, I have a feeling we'll be talking to you more in the future about all the new initiatives you're coming out with. I think it's really exciting, the partnerships that have been formed with the Visitors Bureau. And, you know, I think for our Stark Silver Creek listeners, getting updates from you like this is invaluable.
And I can let your listeners know that we will be a new website, a temporary website will be up in the next couple of days, and we'll be glad to get back to you so that you can put that onto one of your blogs. And I would invite all the listeners to invite their friends to take advantage of the special offer that the Visitors Bureau has in their promotion in Loretto, where you can visit any one of the five hotels from the Inn at Loretto, any of their villas, or the Mission Group, or the Oasis, the Tripoli, and the Hacienda. All are participating in a pay one night, get the next night free. We have the three rental agencies joining us in that endeavor, so that if you rent a car from Alamo Budget or Hertz, you pay one day, you get the next day free. And the same thing with, I believe we have nine restaurants, from the Mediterranean to Domingo's to Cafe Olé to La Terraza, Pancha Mama. You just go up and down. Meat is 1967. There's most of the major restaurants in Loretto are also participating, so that you buy one meal and get the next free. There are some exceptions on steaks and fine cuts or something. But for the most part, it's an opportunity for people to invite their friends to the destination at a substantial discount. Alaska Air, I don't know if you've looked at the rates lately, but their rates have are extremely attractive. You can get round-trip fare from L.A. for under $400. And if you combine that with half off on your stay at the hotels and half your meals off and so forth, half your rental car off, it's one heck of a cheap vacation. And the reason Loretto Business Bureau is sponsoring that is to get people to come and experience what we all fell in love with in Loretto. So invite your friends and come down and take advantage of the special offers that the Bureau has put together for you.
Definitely. We'll be happy to put down on our blog the the website once you give us a location. And let us know when you run these specials again. I know that this one came out. There were quite a number of people interested. And unfortunately, it ends in January. So for those of the spontaneous type that can just fly off, great. But it was also, I know, a little challenging for some people to get in by the end of January deadline.
You let them know we've extended it to the end of February.
Great. Thank you so much, Jim. And looking forward to chatting with you more one of these days. Take care.
My pleasure. I'll look forward to it as well.
Thank you. This is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Loretto Live. It's January 16th, 2009. As you heard from Jim, there's a lot of exciting things happening in Loretto. And here at Stark Silver Creek, we try to give you the latest and greatest news.